Pirate Base, Mr. Yud, until Pirate Gimmel, Missioner Base. Even though something might have the potential to get lost, or for example an animal could very easily escape and therefore it might get lost, right now it's not lost, and therefore you would not be obligated to take it and give it to the owner because it is not yet lost. And therefore, Mitsubo Efforts, if you find an animal in a stable, the stable has walls, so the animal is inside there. However, this stable is not locked, and therefore if the animal wanted to, it could very easily escape. However, there's nothing which is really making the animal escape, and therefore it's not considered lost, and in your you are not obligated, if you find it, you're not obligated to take it and give it to the owner. However, Bereshis Rabbim, if you find it in a public domain, let's say it's in a busy place, for example, it's not near a field, and therefore it's clear that it's lost, chayiv ba, then you are obligated to take it and return it to the owner. Now, the imhoisim is hakavoris. What happens if someone finds something in a graveyard and he is a kohen? Now, we know a kohen cannot go into a graveyard because he can't become tomei. However, we have a very important principle which is known as asei docheloza asei. A positive mitzvah, you must do this, overrides a negative mitzvah, which means you can't do this. So in this case, there's a positive mitzvah, you need to return the item. On the other hand, there's a negative mitzvah, an aveira, which is that a kohen cannot become tomei. So usually we would say that the asei, the positive mitzvah of returning the item, overrides the negative mitzvah, and therefore the kohen should go into the graveyard in order to do the positive mitzvah. However, the Mishnah says lo yitamei lo, he should not become tomei for it, and the reason for this is because as well as the negative mitzvah which the kohen has, he also has a positive mitzvah. So Torah doesn't only say that he can't become tomei, it also says he needs to be holy, he needs to separate himself from tumah. So here we've got an asei and a lo saasei on one side, a positive and a negative mitzvah, that the kohen has to remain pure, and just a positive mitzvah on the other side, and therefore the kohen's purity wins and he should not become Tommy in order to do Hashem's Aveda. Similarly, in Omalo Oviv, someone's father tells him, so let's say we're talking about a coin again, and his father tells him, Hitame, become Tommy in order to return this lost item. Or his father, this isn't necessarily a coin, but someone's father tells him, that thing that you found, don't do Hashem's Aveda with it. Leave it there. So here again, you've got the positive mitzvah to listen to your parents versus these other mitzvahs. So the Mishnah says, Lo Yishmalo, you should not listen to him. And this is learned from the Pasuk. The Pasuk, when it talks about listening and fearing your parents, right after that, in the same Pasuk, it says that you need to keep Shabbos. And then it ends off, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. And we learn from there that if your parents tell you not to keep Shabbos, then you shouldn't listen to them. The reason being that Ani Hashem, Hashem says, I am Hashem, and therefore you need to listen to me rather than your parents. And it makes sense, of course, because even the parent is obligated to listen to Hashem. You're both obligated to listen to Hashem, and therefore, of course, you should listen to Hashem rather than listen to your parent if he tells you to break the Torah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah which says that if someone sees his friend's donkey, or even his enemy's donkey, if someone sees another Jew's donkey, and the owner of the donkey is either loading the donkey, he's putting things onto the donkey, or he's unloading the donkey, he's taking things off the back of the donkey. Torah says it's a mitzvah for you to help him load and unload the donkey. Now what happens if Parak V'Tohan, you help him to unload the donkey and you help him to put it back on, and then again he decides to take the things off and you do it again with him, even 4 or 5 times, if the owner decides to do it again, then Chayev, you are obligated to help him. Shneur, as Pasuk says, Ozov Tazov, you shall surely help him. We had a similar drosha in the previous Mishnah. And again, the double expression teaches us that even multiple times he will be obligated. Also, some learn that even the Ozov itself, even that double expression, Ozov implies doing it often, doing it however many times you need to do it, and therefore we see from this pasuk that even if you do it many times, you still are obligated to help him. However, holach v'yoshav lo, if the owner of the donkey went and sat down by himself and he sees you passing by, v'omar, and he says, hov olecha mitzvah, since it's a mitzvah for you to help me, for you to unload the donkey, im etzonach lifrek perek. If you want to unload the donkey, like the mitzvah, like the Torah says you need to, then go ahead and do it. Says the Mishnah, in that case, potter, you're exempt from doing it. Why is that? Because the pasuk says, you shall surely help him, but then it continues, Shinemar Imoi, you should help him doing it with him. We see from there that if it's not with him, meaning if he refuses to do it himself, then you'll be exempt from helping him. However, if the reason why he wasn't doing it is because he was old or ill, and therefore he can't physically do it, Chayev, in that case, you will be obligated to do it. It's only in a case where he's doing it as a sort of way to make fun of you and to get out of doing it, only in that case will you be exempt. Says Mishnah, Mitzvah min haTorah lifrik. It's a mitzvah from the Torah to unload the donkey, if you see the donkey being unloaded by someone else, aval lo litoin, but it's not a mitzvah to help load the donkey. And the truth is, it's a mitzvah to do both. However, this refers to the fact that according to this opinion of the Mishnah, if you're working, for example, and you'll lose money by not doing your work and by helping him, in that case it's not a mitzvah to load, but to unload, even then it will be a mitzvah. The reason for this is because we have 2 psukim in the Torah. One says you should help him load, one says you should help him unload. Now if you think about it, it only had to tell us that you need to help the person load the animal, and we would have learned from there if it's a mitzvah to load the animal and cause pain to the animal and even cause their there to be a danger that the animal might get injured because you're putting heavy things on it. If it's a mitzvah to help the owner put things on the animal, then all the more so if you're relieving the animal of that pain and getting rid of the danger, all the more so it'll be a mitzvah. Yet the Torah still says that it's a mitzvah to unload it. So why did the Torah have to tell us that? It must be that there's an extra addition to the mitzvah when it comes to unloading. And what is that? That is the fact that even if you're going to lose money, you still need to do it. According to this opinion, we learn from there that when it comes to unloading, the extra posuk is there to teach that you have to do it even if you lose money because of it. Whereas when it comes to loading, that's not an extra posuk. And therefore, if you're going to lose money for it, then you don't need to do it. However, Rabbi Shimon says, no, aflitain, it's even a mitzvah to lose money in order to load the animal, because Rabbi Shimon learns that actually that posuk was necessary for a different reason, and therefore it's not considered extra, and therefore you can't learn such things from that posuk. Now we have a very interesting opinion in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yisai Glili Omer, Im hoya olav yosel masoi, if the animal was carrying more than it's able to normally carry, which means it's actually an extra pain, eino zokuk lo, someone who sees him is not chayev to help the owner to unload him, to unload the donkey. Shneur, as the pasuk says, tachas masoi. Does this mitzvah apply when the donkey is under its burden, which implies that a burden which is fit for it? A burden which he is able to stand underneath. He's able to withstand, and therefore we see from there, ironically, that if it's a larger load, in that case you won't be obligated to help the owner unload the donkey. Mishnah Yudalev, Avidos Lavidas Oviv. If someone has a lost item, meaning he loses something and he wants to go and find it, and his father also lost something, and therefore, of course, it's a mitzvah for him to help his father to get his item back. However, Avidoso Kodemes, his thing which he lost takes precedence and he can go and retrieve that before he deals with getting his father's lost item back. It's learned from the Torah, which basically teaches us, it's learned that from a posuk, and it's a responsibility on someone to make sure that he doesn't become poor in order to help other poor people. So too, in this case, the expression is shel kol adam. Things for you come before things for others. So if you have something lost, even if it's your father, you're still allowed, not that you're obligated, you're still allowed to go and get your thing back first. Similarly, I would also have it as rabbi. If you got something which you lost, and your teacher has something which you lost, someone who taught you Torah, even though you're obligated to honor him, shelok ademes, yours comes first, as we explained above. Now what happens if Avidas Oviv Avidas Rabbi, his father and teacher lost something? So he's obligated to honor both. So who should he help first? So Rabbi Kedemes, his teacher, his Rebbe's lost item comes first. Why? Oviv Hebilot Lamazep, because his father brought him to this world. So Rabbi Shlimik Chochma, but his teacher who taught him wisdom, he taught him Torah, Nevi'u L'chayel Mabah, he is bringing him to the next world, which is of course greater than this world. And therefore, he should give greater honor to his teacher. However, if his father is also a Talmud Chacham, even if he's not his main Rebbe, since if his father is a Talmud Chacham, he definitely taught his son Torah as well, even if it's not as much. Nevertheless, he's now got two reasons to honor his father. And therefore, in that case, his father's honor comes first, and he should go and get his father's lost item before he gets his teacher's lost item. Similarly, if his father and teacher were carrying something, he should take and put down. He should unload, as it were, the load of his teacher first, and then help his father to take the things from him. Similarly, if his father and teacher were in captivity and he needs to ransom them in order to free them, Podes Rabbi, he should redeem his teacher, and then he should redeem his father. His teacher takes precedence over his father in all these matters. But again, also in these cases, if his father was also a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he inevitably also taught him Torah, in that case, Podes Oviv, then he should redeem his father first, and then, if he has more money, then redeem his teacher as well.
Paragimel, later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn about the Arba'ah Shomrim, the four guarders of property that refers to people who are looking after something which belongs to someone else. I'm going to cover the details later on, but these different type of Shomrim come up in this parak as well. The first type is called a Shomer Chinam, and that is someone who just needs to look after something which belongs to someone else. Let's say Reuven goes to Shimon and says, can you look after this for me? And Shimon does so, and Shimon is not paid for it. Category number two is a Shomer Sochar, which is exactly the same case, but this time Shimon is paid to look after the thing which belongs to Reuven. The third type of Shomer is a Shoyel, which is someone who borrows something from someone else, which means that this time he can actually use it, and he is not paid, and he doesn't pay the owner. And the last type is someone who pays the owner to use it. Basically, he rents it out. That is known as a soicher, someone who hires something. And when it comes to things which happen to the item, damage which is done, or if it gets lost, depending on how much rights you have to that thing, and how much advantage you have, that is how much you'll have to pay. For example, someone who borrows something, he has the right to use it, and he's not even paying for that right, and therefore he'll have to pay for everything. Whereas a Shomer Chinam, for example, someone who can't use it and he's not paid to look after it. So on the one hand, he can't use it and therefore that's a disadvantage for him, so he won't have to pay for everything. But on the other hand, he's not being paid to do it and therefore other payments might come into it. So the first mission discusses a Shomer Chinam. Again, we've got four types. One, a Shomer Chinam, someone who looks after it, can't use it, and he's not paid. A Shomer Sochar, same as a Shomer Chinam, but he is paid to look after it. A Shoyal is someone who borrows something, and a Socher is someone who hires something. So this mission discusses a Shomer Chinam. Now, Loch is going to learn about this later on in the Masechta. If while the Shomer Chinam is looking after that item, it gets stolen or lost, as long as he took proper care of it, he will be exempt of to pay for it. However, we need to determine whether he did look after it properly. Now, how do we do that? There's one of two ways. Either he brings witnesses to say that he looked after it properly, he didn't take it himself. But if he doesn't have witnesses, then he can swear. If he swears in Beis Din that he looked after it properly and it just got stolen, there was nothing he could do about it, in that case, he will be exempt from paying for the item because it was nothing to do with him. That is the basic halacha for a Shomer Chinam. The mission tells us, Hamafkid etzel chaveru behemoi kelim. Someone who deposits with someone else an animal or utensils, and this means that he gives it to someone else to look after, and he doesn't pay him to do so, and therefore he's a Shomer Chinam. But then, v'nignu ish avdu, the things which he gave this person to look after, they got stolen or they got lost. Now, like you said before, in order to get out of paying for it, all he needs to do is swear that he looked after it properly. What happens if shilim, he actually paid this Shomer Chinam, said, you know, I don't want to swear, v'layotzel shom, he didn't want to swear, and he said, you know what, I'll pay for it, I'll give the owner the value of the money, and he did so, Sharia Omru, because the Chachamim said, Shomer Chinam Nishav Yotze, if he wanted to, the Shomer Chinam could just swear, and he would be exempt from having to pay for the item, but he chose not to pick that option. However, this could be actually an advantage for him, because Nimtza Aganav, if the thief then gets found, we learn in Masechta Bava Kama that what's the punishment for stealing, at least stealing in secret, you have to pay back the item, plus its value. Tashlumei Chayfel, you end up paying double the actual value of the item. So Mishal Tashlumei Chayfel, he has to pay this double, this fine of Tashlumei Chayfel, Tovach Umocha, and if, after stealing it, this person slaughtered it, or he sold it, the punishment for that is Mishlam Tashma Baba Chamisha. He has to pay four or five times the amount, depending on what animal. This applies only to an ox or a sheep. And the thief who then went ahead and sold or slaughtered this thing, he has to give four or five times the amount, the value of that animal to the owner. However, in this case, Lemishaim, who does he pay it to? Lemisha Pekodn Etzloi, to the person who looked after it, to the Shomer Chinam himself. Because since he paid for the item, we look at him as if he owned the animal. And even though really this extra money should go to the owner, we assume that actually the owner would prefer getting only the actual amount of the animal originally, because the owner's not sure whether the thief will be found. And we assume that the owner will rather take the value of the animal from the Shomer Chinam, which he'll get for sure, rather than possibly getting double or four or five times the amount. And therefore, since the Shomer Chinam picked the option of paying, so now the thief will have to pay him if he is found. But if he swore and he didn't want to pay, and that's what he can do, that's what he would do in most cases, then if the thief is then found, and the thief has to pay double the value of the animal which he stole, and if he slaughtered or sold that animal, he has to pay four or five times the amount, which is the normal punishment for stealing and then selling or slaughtering the item, the animal, the mimishalim. But who does he pay it to this time? Obviously, he pays it to the owner of the item, the owner of the animal, because he hasn't yet received his money for the theft. Mishnah Beis. So we explained in the previous Mishnah that a Shomer Chinam, again, that's someone who looks after someone else's thing and is not paid for it. So if he doesn't look after it properly and he does damage to it, then obviously he'll be chayv to pay for it. But if it's stolen or lost, then as long as he swears, he will be exempt from paying for it. However, Shomer Socher, who is paid to look after something, he has that extra advantage and therefore he has more responsibility and will be chayv to pay for more. So the halacha is that if something is stolen or lost when it comes to Shomer Socher, he does need to pay for it and swearing will not help for him. However, things which were out of his control, for example, the animal just died normally a natural death, as long as he swears that it wasn't his fault, then even a Shomer Socher will be exempt for that. And the next level up is a Shoyel, who is someone who borrows something, he can actually use it, and therefore, even if it's out of his control, even if the animal dies a natural death, even then the borrower will be chayv to pay for the animal. So that's the main difference between a Shomer Socher and a Shoyel. A Shomer Socher, who is someone who can't use it, and he's paid to look after it, he's chayv to pay if it's stolen or lost, but not if something happens to it out of his control. Whereas a Shoyel is chayv even if it's out of his control. So the mission says, Hasircha Pome Chavero, someone who hires a cow from his friend. So this is actually talking about a socher, who is a renter. And at least according to this Mishnah, a renter has the same halacha as a Shomer Socher. Lots to remember, okay? So we're going to assume that the category of a Shomer Socher and the category of a socher is the same. So whether you are paid to look after it or whether you pay to use it, you have the same halacha. And again, what is that? That you're chayv to pay if it's stolen or lost, but you'll be exempt from paying if something happens to it out of your control. So you rent this cow from your friend. And when you rent it, you make a condition and the owner allows you to lend it to other people while you're renting. Let's say you rent it for a week. The owner allows you to lend this animal to other people as well. And that's what you do. Vishilal Acher, you lend this to another person. And then, Umesokadarka, the animal dies like its normal way, a natural death, that is out of his control. So which out of these two people is usually chayv to pay even if it's out of his control? The borrower, the shoyel. So according to the Tanakhama, Yeshava HaSeicher, the renter should swear to the owner of the thing he's renting, Mesokadarka, that it died a natural death. Like we said before, if he swears that it died a natural death, it was out of his control, he is not obligated to pay. But Vahashoyel, the borrower, is usually chayv to pay for these things. And it happened while he was borrowing it, so Yeshalim HaSeicher, he has to pay to the person who rented the animal from the owner. Because think about it, this third person, this borrower, who did he borrow it from? Not the owner, he borrowed it from the renter, and therefore that's who he needs to pay to. However, Omar Reisi said, if you think about it, it comes out that Ketzal Lo Isis Chur before Sosh Chavero. How is this person, the renter, doing business with someone else's cow? He rented a cow from the owner, and the owner allowed him to lend it to other people. Not necessarily to hire it out to other people, not to make money out of it, just to let other people use it. But according to you, the Tanakama, the borrower is paying the renter money, even though the renter does not own the cow. Elo tachzer hapor labailim, rather, the borrower should return the cow to the actual owner of the cow. And the reason for Biesi is because we look at it as if the owner was actually the one who lent him the cow, because he allowed the renter to do so, and therefore it's as if he did it himself, and therefore the shoyel, the borrower, pays the actual owner of the cow. Okay, so let's just review these four types of shomrim and their halachas. Number one, we have a shomer chino, who's someone who is not paid to look after something. If that item gets lost or stolen, as long as he swears that he looked after it properly, he will be exempt even from that. Number two and three, we have a shomer socher, who's someone who looks after something and he is paid to do so. And we have a socher, who is someone who pays to use something. So if it gets stolen or lost, they're chayv to pay. But if something happens out of their control, then as long as they swear, they'll be exempt from paying for that. And last, we have a shoyel, who's someone who borrows something, since he can use it and doesn't even need to pay to use it, even if something happens out of his control, he will still be chayv to pay for that.